Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Maria, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holdings conference call to present and discuss the first half 2020 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to the Quest Holdings management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings, and I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgandzis, and our CFO, Mr. Marcos Bitsakos. We will first give you a brief update of the results of the first half of 2020 and an outlook for the rest of 2020, and we will later have time for your questions. For those of you who sit in front of a PC, you can browse the IR segment of our corporate webpage, quest.gr, and download all relevant information, including our corporate presentation. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcos Bitsakos, Quest Group CFO. In our last call back in June 10th, I said that 2020 will be remembered as the COVID-19 year. I'm sure that by now you all know the significant economic slowdown the pandemic crisis caused to all countries across the globe, as well the majority of industries. Having said that, I'm happy to tell you that for the first half of the year, Quest Group, on a consolidated level, had limited, if not zero, impact to its financial performance. The second trimester of 2020 followed the same pattern as Q1. Therefore, during the first half of the year, our consolidated revenues reached almost 304 million euros, increased by 17.7% versus the first quarter of 2019, which was 258.2 million euros. With the exception of Carling, which will be explained later on, all companies fueled this notable growth, with the IT sector being the main driver of the sales growth. Consolidated EBITDA continued to grow by the same pace of Q1, which is 6%, and EBT grew by 3.2%. Our earnings after tax and non-controlling interest were higher by 10%. The above 2020 EBT and earnings after tax include extraordinary costs incurred in the postal services sector during the lockdown of more than 1 million euros, as well as one-off donation related to COVID of 500,000 euros. It should also be mentioned that in 2019, EBT and earnings after tax were boosted by an amount of 1.4 million euro extraordinary profit, which means that on a like-for-like comparison, 2020 results, the organic results, are even higher than the reported ones. Group's net cash position ended up to 18.4 million euros compared to 24.7 million net cash in December 2019 and 2.4 million on June 30, 2019. The change from December 2019 is due to the typical seasonal higher working capital requirements of the period under discussion. I also remind you that in March 2020, the net cash was only 5.3 million euros, and we had then noticed that it was anticipated to strengthen during the second trimester, which is the case. Now let me pass you back to Alexandros to give us a sector overview.
Thank you, Marcos. Now diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the IT product segment consisted of four companies, I remind, InfoQuest, iSquared, iStorm, and Quest Online, continued to grow by almost 22.5% at the sales level. The EBT improved by 0.6 million, which is a 16% year-over-year. However, at this point, I'd like to remind you that last year there was an extraordinary profit of almost 1.4 million to the bottom line caused by a provision reversal. Excluding this extraordinary impact in 2019, Q1 of 2020 EBT, actually half one 22 EBT, has almost doubled year over year. IT services sector, consisting of Unisystems and subsidiaries, also augmented by 14.6% in sales and by 26.8% in EBT, assisted by the reduction of financial costs and D&As. Postal services, which is ACS, grew by almost 10% in sales. However, due to extraordinary costs incurred to address the steep increase of demand in last-mile delivery services and thus to facilitate e-commerce, EBT declined by 3.2%. Electronic payments, which is cardlink sales, decreased by 0.1%, while EBT shrank by almost 58%. Main reason for this is the new agreement with the banks, which we have already explained in the past, plus, however, the COVID-19 effect. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales doubled in the first half of 2020, while EBT tripled on a year-over-year basis, mainly due to the acquisition of 13.5 megawatts power in total within 2019. The total installed base as of now is 26.2 megawatts. Now let me pass over to Mr. Yorgantzis to give his view on the group's outlook.
Good afternoon from me to all. I am Apostolos Yorgantzis, Quest Group CEO. As you all know, the COVID-19 pandemic and the relevant measures taken by the Greek authorities have created an unprecedented economic environment, and as in most of the world. However, after a very difficult April, where a total lockdown was imposed, and gradually through May, our numbers deeply recovered. Therefore, we are now more optimistic about the rest of the year. Given no further negative effect by the pandemic or other reasons in consumption, overall, we estimate that the second half of the year will be similar, the results of the second half of the year will be similar to those of the first half. Going into more detail per sector, regarding the first sector, which is the IT products, including the companies InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, and Quest Online, this was the group's more severely affected segment during the lockdown. However, the negative effect from the lockdown was less than initially expected, whereas once the lockdown was lifted, we observed a surge in demand for electronic and technology products. During the same period, Quest Online demonstrated significant revenue growth, benefiting from the great demand for online sales. If the current trend continues, in the second half of the year, and especially during the last 2 months, where a great part of commercial turnover is realized in this sector, we expect to have similar or even better results compared to 2019. Regarding the second sector, which is IT services and company called Unisystems, this segment, as we also described in the first quarter results, is estimated not to be influenced in the midterm, given its high backlog of projects, which is today more than 260 million. So we see that this trend continues. Regarding the third sector, which is the postal services and the company ACS, in this sector, we see the demand of B2C courier services, which mainly regards to parcels, delivery at homes, increased significantly during April in contrast to plain postal services, which regard mainly to mail and envelopes, where in this part, the demand decreased. The surge in demand for e-commerce related courier services led to extraordinary measures in order to upgrade rapidly the operational capacity and mainly the last mile capacity to accommodate the extra volume, and such as extra financial assistance to the company agents, increased hire, overtime costs, urgent rents of storage spaces, and additional costs from new equipment to accommodate for the extra needs. These extraordinary costs adversely impacted ACS's profitability in the second quarter. However, the company has managed to streamline these costs while stabilizing at higher levels of demand. Hence, profitability margins are expected to recover during the second half of the year and in the long term the company is expecting to benefit from these new market conditions that we just described. In the fourth sector, which is electronic payments and the company Carlink, regarding Carlink, we experienced a double-digit year-over-year fall in profitability in the second quarter, and this is due to the new agreement with the banks and slightly also because of the effect of the lockdown. However, we see the long-term outlook of the company positive, since the post-COVID-19 habits seem to favor the use of cards and guest cash. Finally, regarding the last sector, which is renewable energy and Quest Energy, there is no disruption. We see no disruption in the production of and distribution of solar energy. Therefore, we estimate it for the second half of the year to have similar results as those of the first half. Now, going for the longer term, the prevailing perception is that most of the sector where the Quest Group operates in, like technology, e-payments, e-commerce, parcel delivery, etc., will benefit from the effects of the pandemic. Finally, the group cash position is solid, having overall amount of more than 180 million in cash and available credit lines, which enables the continuation of its growth investment strategy. I will pass back now to Alexandros to continue.
Okay. Thank you, Apostole. That was our brief overview for the first half of 2020. We are now happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, then you may press star and two. Please use your handset when asking your question for better quality. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Kalogeropoulos Ioannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, and congratulations for the set of results you recorded. I have three questions, if I may. The first one relates to your CAPEX requirement for the full year, taking into consideration the development of the new ACS hub, which is progressing, as you mentioned in the press release. Could you provide us with a full year 20 CAPEX figure for the whole year, I mean? And if in this figure are any new solar park acquisitions included? That's the first question. The second one relates to the current trends in your retail business. You acknowledge that there was a strong performance, especially after the national lockdown in April, a strong rebound in May and in June, which, as far as I can understand, is mainly attributed to the appealing demand for retail products, I guess especially Apple products, and the great performance of you, your online portal. If you see these trends continuing in Q3, and if you can guide us for the full year as well. The third question has to do with any potential or still pending developments with the elaboration and the acquisition of Dimitriou S.A. I think that's it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Mr. Kalogeropoulos, thank you for the questions. This is me, Marcos Bitsakos, speaking again. I will try to give you an overview about the CAPEX. First of all, the CAPEX regarding the first first half of the year, which is 6.7 million euro, I have to tell you that 80% of this CAPEX derives from three companies. First of all, ACS, which absorbs the 60% of total CAPEX due to the construction of its new central hub. Carling has 15% of total CAPEX for POS addition or replacement, and Quest Energy, 13% of the total CAPEX for the acquisition of a small photovoltaic park back in January of 2020. We estimate that during second half of the year, CAPEX will be higher than first half due to the acceleration of ACS infrastructure and West Energy potential investment that may be the case in the next coming months. But as far as the actual amount of the capex, although we are more, it's more easy, let's say, to estimate ACS capex. As I told you, it's going to be higher than the 4 million euros, which was in the first half. But as far as energy is concerned, this is slightly difficult, let's say, to be accurately predicted, because Quest Energy is actively looking for new acquisition in the field of photovoltaic parks. Primarily, we examine cases of parks already in operation, and if possible, with feed-in tariffs, and condition precedent that their IRR is above a certain threshold, ideally more than 15%. I would say, if I can make a prediction, that our goal is to make new investments in the range of 6 to 10 million euros. But of course, if we will find parks that meet the certain targets that I just described to you.
Okay. That relates only to solar park acquisitions in Greece or abroad as well?
It's only in Greece, yes.
Okay, Mr. Kalogeropoulos, this is Alexandros Roustas. Regarding the technology products, we've seen that after COVID, the demand for such products has increased a lot. And this stands also for, especially I would say, it stands also for Apple products, all types of Apple products. We see that this trend of increased sales continues until today, I would say. And what will happen until the end of the year, it's difficult to estimate, but if there's no disruption in supply of products from Apple or in the demand of products due to various local reasons and of course due to the pandemic, we believe that we'll have by the end of the year a similar result to what you see in the first half.
Okay, and I think if this Apostolos Georgantzis, if Alexandros has concluded the answer for the third question, which regards to the possible potential acquisition of the company Yer Dimitriou. Regarding that, our strategy behind this is first of all to enter the clima sector, which we believe has growth potential as well as higher margin than the IT wholesale market, and the same commercial channel. Therefore, we see it as an extension to or adjacent to our current business sectors. As it has been already announced, we have signed since the beginning of the year an MOU with the company YEV Dimitriou regarding our participation in YEV restructuring. YEV is the official distributor of Toyotomi air conditioning equipment in Greece, for those who doesn't know it. The restructuring process, however, of this company takes time and is still pending. We hope that possibly during the third quarter we could see a progress in this case. This progress could be an agreement of the creditors for the restructuring plan of YEV Dimitriou in order that YEV will be able to file an application for restructuring according to Article 106B, which will have to be approved by the court. Therefore, we see further time of delay for this process, which could conclude sometime in the middle of next year.
Okay, by mid 2021.
Sorry, 2021.
Okay.
So we see it possibly to be, if it goes forward in the, as I explained during the third quarter, we see hopefully a positive conclusion at the mid of next year. And then on, we will be able to operate properly, because in the meantime, what we do is we facilitate the company to operate commercially to stay alive.
Yes. And if a follow-up question, if I may, could you elaborate a bit on the impact on the cash flow of the extraordinary tax cost that you will implement, and you, as you mentioned, in H220? From my understanding, it is that it will impact cash flow as well, as you mentioned that it will increase net debt, and you will also increase the current par value by 5.89 cents per share. And what does that relate to, if I can ask? Thank you.
So this is Markos Bitsakos speaking. We have quite a few times disclosed that this is related to a capitalization of extraordinary profits that were created back in 2006. In 2006, the legal entity InfoQuest sold its participation in a company which was Q-Telecom. Q-Telecom had the fourth mobile license in Greece, and it was sold with a substantive profit, which was not taxed, let's say, under the general tax rate. We had in our balance sheet an amount exceeding 200 million euros that we could not touch unless it was taxed with the general tax rules. Now, in December 2019, the tax law changed, and we were able to capitalize this amount, 210 million euros. In the same time, we offset retained losses of 160 million euros carried forward in our balance sheet. And these losses was created starting 2018 with the first adoption of IFRS, and over the 10 year of economic crisis in Greece with the impairments the group had made mainly to the current to the fixed assets of our group. So by doing this, first of all, we offset losses with this capitalization. Now our balance sheet is crystal clear, and we have strengthened our capital in allowing us in the future, in the years to come, to freely give back to our shareholders dividends or capital decrease. Now, for this capitalization, we had to pay a 5% tax instead of 24, which is the general applicable rate. So this 11 million euros stands for the 5% on the 210 million euros. As you said, this will affect our cash flow. We already, as Quest Holdings, we have a bond loan of 12 million euros in order to facilitate the payment to the tax authorities. The payment is going to be done through 3 months, five installments of 3 months. So we're going to end up paying this the whole amount on May 2021. Is this answer your question?
Yes, clear. That's clear. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Zafari Arash with Quaero. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Now, okay.
Yes, we can, Arash.
Oh, perfect. Sorry, I had to unmute before. Congratulations, everyone, on again, really exceptional set of results under the circumstances, and thanks again for your time. I had three questions, if it was okay. The first is related to ACS and the revenue growth trends you foresee for the second half. And I sort of ask because if I look at Q1 versus Q2, the actual revenue growth was quite similar. Again, very good in both quarters, but one might have thought that with the lockdowns, ACS might have had a revenue boost. And I was just wondering what you would expect on the revenue kind of side for ACS, if things have improved or if maybe your revenue growth potential is somewhat constrained until your new facility comes online, if you see what I mean, particularly in terms of volumes. And my second question actually is it's to do with renewables, and I understand the renewables agency. I think it's called DAPEEP now. It used to be called LAGI, but I may have forgotten the new name that pays the tariffs. It's actually in deficit at the moment. And historically, the Greek governments have cut tariffs, but at the same time, they haven't cut, I think, tariffs for some very small projects but facilities, because those have often been owned by Greek individuals and it's been political. And I was just wondering, particularly with the new government perhaps being very different to the prior government in Greece, if you see that there is some risk there around the tariffs and if your projects are maybe some of them would be more impacted than others. And just lastly, just to follow up on the point you just clarified about cash returns, just to read in between the lines maybe, has your views changed maybe in terms of, perhaps being more after acquisitions rather than returns to shareholders in dividends and buybacks, partly maybe because your own businesses are doing so well at the moment? Do you see maybe it is attractive to buy your own shares and i.e., really buy more into your own businesses that are all flying rather than, look for new businesses in a world that it's much more challenging to understand how businesses will perform? Or I may have just not read the wrong thing in between the lines there. So I just wanted to ask again, and thank you very much.
Okay, this is Apostolos Georgandis. I will answer the first question regarding ACS. Regarding the ACS revenue development and evolution, I would say that we've seen a surge in April, but again, the mix in April with the lockdown wasn't that good because it was mainly related to e-commerce. And ACS revenue also comes from private recipients as well as from B2B. Therefore, the mix wasn't that good. And also taking in account that we have a part of our revenue coming from the plain post, the mail business, which is declining this year at a rate of 15-20%, we see that the overall, let's say, growth ends up to be at around between 10-15%. It's a double-digit growth. We see that this trend will continue for the rest of the year, but gradually as e-commerce is picking up more and more and as mail business is going down, it will probably in the next year, it will be possible that we'll see acceleration in revenue. Now, regarding the third question, I don't know whether this answered the questions, more or less, or you want any more?
Oh, no, that's perfect.
Okay, so now regarding the third question, regarding the cash returns and the buyback, the free float that we have today is 25%. So it's quite low, and this limit us from, let's say, going and doing buybacks at the moment. Therefore, we're quite conservative in going and doing buybacks because this will further diminish the free float, which is not in our strategy. Therefore, we do that only when we see it, but it's mainly it's not offensive. Is very defensive, and we've done that a bit during the decline of the stock exchange during the lockdown, but it was mainly defensive. Regarding investment, we continue as the cash flow goes well so far. We continue our plans and our strategy to invest more, mainly in growth. And as if you recall also previous calls and communications, our strategy is that out of the cash we produce every year, 80% goes for growth, and most of our CapEx regards growth. Our running CapEx is still very low. It's below 5 million, and all the rest goes to growth. And now, depending on the opportunities we find, we could, let's say, invest more or less year over year. This year, in front of us, we have investments of infrastructure for the postal sector, as well as further development of our base in the energy sector. And as also Marcos mentioned before, according to the cases and we have and how things go, we could, we're ready to do more, but there are sometimes restraints because of the cases we find or the, let's say, time we need for the constructions, which is our constraint, not the investment. So we continue our investment, so we're actively looking for more that could, let's say, help us grow, grow more. Now, regarding the second question, which is regarding Quest Energy, I will pass to Marcos to tell you to reply to the question.
Hi, Aras. Going back to the second question regarding the deficit that the special account of renewable energy has, I'm not sure that I can give you a firm answer about how endangered, let's say, the renewable energies are in paying some sort of special taxes in the past or to have tariff cuts. However, I have to tell you that this deficit today amounts to approximately 60 million euros. Accurately is 57 million euros, while back in 2016, if I recall well, when we had the tariff, the tariff cuts, this deficit was almost 600 million euros. So it's not the same, first of all, as an amount, and the pattern, it's not also the same. I don't feel that we are under a certain threat, let's say, in tariff cuts. What we hear, let's say, from the market, the rumors are that the government most likely will decide to impose some sort of levy to the companies that sell power in Greece. I'm not talking only about the PPC, but also the other companies that are in the middle of the production and consumers. So we are not sure what will happen. The situation is not that critical as it used to be. It's, I would say, 10% of what we faced a few years ago. And of course, I feel that the government, the today's government, is much more reasonable, let's say, than the one that we used to have.
Any other question?
Thank you, everyone. That was great. Thank you very much.
We thank you, Aras.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgadzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. As a closing, we would like to thank you all for your participation and wish you all to be well and healthy during this challenging situation. We hope that the worst is behind us, but we have to see because things are not yet so clear. We wish you all have a nice afternoon. Thank you.